Yes, I'm old too. It sucks. It sucks.
Aches and shit.
Achy breaky heart?
Achy breaky period. I'm all kinds of fucked and sore and shit.
I'm sore too. Like, this morning I was like, what's going on? Like, I felt like I was like lifting or doing push-ups or something. Like, all my biceps are sore. And it's from carrying around Brinley's heavy ass yesterday.
I don't carry her.
Well, we're at that birthday party and she just wants to be on you. But I don't even think I was carrying.
I don't carry babies that weigh more than 30 pounds.
I didn't think I was. She doesn't weigh more than 30 pounds. Whatever. Whatever.
I'm just saying. Gracie got on the scale at the doctor's office. She weighs 30. I want to say it was either 32.8 or 36.8, but she's like.
Damn, in the first percentile?
In the second percentile.
Damn, she's tiny.
The doctor was like, do you know she's skinny? I was like, yes, she's been skinny her whole life. Like, and they had me freaked out, like, you know, when she was a baby. They had me freaked out. Oh, well, she's underweight and you should try this. And I was like, what the hell? But she's just naturally skinny. That's how she is.
She's small. Her grandmother was petite, and she's going to be petite.
Yeah. That's why she's going to take Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
And she's going to fuck some people up.
Yeah, because Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is for people that are smaller. Like, they have the advantage over bigger, assailants, bigger attackers, you know. They use that person's height and weight against them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, I think she could do. Definitely do well.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu. She becomes a ninja.
Ninja!
She's
all ninja status.
She says, ninjutsu! Alright, that's cool. So, Brandy, how was your week? Your face. Oh my god. You were like, meh.
I don't know.
Whatever that face looks like.
I got some stuff done. I did do some stuff. I just can't remember what stuff I did and what, like, you know.
Just a feeling of accomplishment is fine.
I posted another blog post, so yeah, I did that, but it took me, like, forever to get around to doing the blog post.
So what's the problem? Like, why do you have a problem?
Because,
like,
I'm trying to do everything.
Yeah.
That's just me. So I have to do
it's all. Not just you.
No, it's just me. Like, I have to do everything.
Okay.
All the research. I have to do all the planning. I have to do the everything. Like, everything. And so I'm like, you know, if I had an assistant or even, like,
an intern. Get an intern.
Get an intern.
That's what interns do. They do work.
Yeah, but who the hell is going to be my intern? Like,
anybody who wants to get experience. Like, if you want to have experience writing, doing research, things of that nature. When you get out of college, they're like, hey, do you have any experience? And you're like, no.
I actually did contact ABC's journalism department.
I think you did tell me that.
Yeah, and
ABC.
AVC.
AVC, got it.
I don't know, Valley College.
I was like, who's ABC? ABC College, I hate that.
I went to ABC. They're like,
bitch.
That's not real.
Sit your ass down.
Yeah, and then they emailed me back, but their journalism department is weird. It's not the way it was when I was there, so I they don't have, like, an advisor. They used to have an advisor. Like, my instructor was our advisor, so, like, when we went to JACC competitions or the Journalism Association of Community Colleges convention, which is what it was, he went with us and all that stuff. I don't even think they're doing that. I don't even think they are aware that it exists. And they're
is it a new advisor there?
Yeah, they haven't.
There's,
like,
always some, like, it's like
when I was I mean, this was what, freaking, like, 10 years
a thousand years ago,
but they let him go, my former advisor, whose name was Jim Burns, who's awesome. He, you know, they let him go, and then they didn't have anybody for the journalism program for a minute. And so when I went on, and I looked in the catalog, they had, you know, the journalism program was still in the catalog, but the classes, now they have, like, one class per semester. There's only three journalism classes on campus anyway.
Oh, okay.
But instead of having them all, you know, each semester, they don't. They have one, I guess, during the fall, and then another one in the spring. And so, and then the newspaper is its own, you know, it's like a lab class, so they should have that every semester, but I don't think they do, which is stupid, because how can you have a campus newspaper that's not functioning as a newspaper should function, you know what I mean?
Yeah, get your shit in fucking order. Just get yourself an intern. We'll figure that out.
Get yourself an intern.
We'll figure that
interns
out.
Interns are us. Actually, what's that company? There is a company that does a thing where they match interns with people who need interns.
That's interesting. I don't know.
Damn it, I forgot what it's called. But it's this chick who was like a perpetual intern forever, and then she started this company that matches interns with
the right people.
Yeah.
That makes sense. That sounds like it's a necessity.
But I forgot what it's called. I heard it actually on Stassi Schroeder's podcast. So how was your week?
Just like you, just trying to get shit done. I do everything, Brandy. I do everything. It's just
yeah,
me. It's just me.
Exactly.
I make the biscuits. I package the biscuits. I sell the biscuits.
I
promote
the
biscuits.
I do the things.
It was good. We got that, our new cover art, which I live for.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I live for it. I hope you guys like it. I feel like it.
Yeah, let us know how you like the new cover art.
I think
I want to hear, opinions.
I know, right? It's fun. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you to Miles. Is it Goethe?
It looks like it's Gaith.
Gaith?
Like, that name looks like one of those, like, German-type names that would be pronounced gay.
Yeah, I thought it was, like, Goethe.
Like Schrader, like Mr. Schroeder.
Yeah.
Goes by Mr. Schrader.
Right.
Now.
Well, he's a local artist out here in the Antelope Valley in Lancaster, and he does good work. So find him on Instagram. Miles, it's, like, @MilesGoethe.
G-O-E-T-H-E.
Sorry, guys, yeah.
Is it Miles with an I or a Y?
Y. M-Y-L-E-S. There it is! M-Y-L-E-S.
They're like, who the hell? I don't know how to spell that.
Oh my gosh, you know what I hate? So, in my real life, I work in a call center.
In my real life.
And I hate when people are like, okay, I'm like, what's your name? And it's like, oh, it's Alicia, Byrne. No. What's a weird name that could be spelled anyway?
Burns
could be spelled anyway, right? So, it's Alicia Burns. I'm like, how are you spelling Alicia? Like, can you spell that? Like, Alicia can be spelled, like,
which
so many...
Which way are we spelling Alicia?
Which way? And then, like, I'm like, okay, so is it L-Y? You know, I don't know.
Burns, B... Is it B-U-R-N-S, like Burns, or is it B-Y-R-N-E-S?
But what I'm saying is, like, don't act like a fucking dick when I'm like, okay, is it spelled this way? And you're like, no. Spell your damn name
yeah.
for me, please.
You should just say, can you spell that for me? That's how you do it.
No. May I have your name? Yes, it's this. And then I'll wait.
And then you can
so, wait. I'll wait for you to spell your freaking name, Anastasia, you know, whatever. Spell your name. Spell it. Okay? I'm not a smart man. Okay? I am not a freaking,
but
like...
I know what Lola
all right, I'm not a spelling bee champion, obviously. Like, knock it off. Spell your friggin' name. Even if it's simple. You know... Anyway, that was just my gripe right there. Spell your freaking name if you got a strange name. If it's not James or Mike or even Sarah, spell Sarah. You can spell Sarah a few different ways too. Spell
yeah,
it for
yeah.
us, please. Do your when you call into a place, spell your name. Do them a favor. Sorry, that was me.
I thought somebody jumped on the bed.
Anyway, but my week was good, Brandy. I was making biscuits this weekend. I got to work from home this week. Oh, and Trip Nasty is doing really good. So the dog. Let's get an update on the dog. When we left, we hadn't decided on a name. His name is now Trip. And
how did we arrive at Trip?
So, that's a very good question. I let Jamal name the dog because he's a boy dog and Jamal's the only man in the house. So Jamal's like...
they're gonna develop a sense of camaraderie.
Right. Hopefully, but that... Anyway, we're going through
that's
it.
That's another story.
So we're going to keep going into this. So Jamal's like, okay, I'm going to call him Twitch because he's jumpy. Like, he's jumpy squirrel. Like, he's just super skittish or whatever.
Jumpy squirrel.
And so I was like, okay, Twitch, that's the dog's name. Fine. I leave for work. I come back home, and I hear Jamal calling him, and he's like, come here, Trip. Come here, Trip. I said, who is Trip? And he was like, oh, he was like, right? And I was like, who's Trip? He was like, I just keep calling him Trip. I was like, his name's Trip now. Obviously, you like that name. I like the name. And so since, I think, Tuesday, his name has been Trip. So it's not going to change. His name is Trip. And I call him Trip Nasty just because it sounds good. And he is an escape artist. I feel like I am a porting character in this dog's movie. Because he keeps breaking out of the fence. He finds, like, weak points in the parameters. And
Perimeter.
No habla inglés.
The parameter is a guideline.
The parameter. In the perimeter. He's, like, busted through the fence, and he gets into the neighbor's yard, and then the neighbors have a hole in their front fence, so he knows how to get out. And then he'll just be prancing around the neighborhood. And he's super sweet. He's really friendly. And Jamal's been chasing him all week, so he's pissed. And he's like, I'm not chasing any friggin' dogs anymore. And,
Hey, man, Jamal set records for running, so he should be able to catch up.
He claims he has one leg. So, anyway, Saturday morning, I'm up, I go outside. Actually, Saturday morning, I let the dogs out, they come back in, and it wasn't even 6 o'clock yet. So I went and I laid down for like 20 minutes or whatever I could get. And Jamal goes downstairs. He's like, should I let the dogs out? I said, let the girls out. Don't let Trip out.
Don't let that motherfucker out.
But he lets them all out. And then Jamal comes in the house. He's like, yeah, your dog's gone again. And
your dog
like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Your dog's gone again. And it was just like, are you fucking kidding me? I told you not to let him out. And you let him out. So he gets out and he's running around the neighborhood. So I walk down the street, I'm calling, I'm whistling, and I'm just standing in the middle of the street so he could hear me. And I think I stood there for maybe like 3 minutes, calling him, whistling, and then I turned around and started walking home. And the second I turned to my left, he's just standing there smiling and panting. And he didn't have a collar on.
I'm right here.
He didn't have a, yeah.
That was fun.
Well, it's going to get funner. He didn't have a collar on, and I didn't grab a leash because I don't know. I wasn't thinking. And so I'm guiding him back towards the house, and he just runs past the house. And I was like, are you kidding me? And he ends up, like, running past the house to 40th Street and, like, down the way. And I'm just, like, trying to get him to come back. He was just like, I got to get home. This is not my home. I got to go. My family's waiting for me. And, you know, the dog movie of his life. Kids. Anyway, stop it. So, I have to carry him, Brandy. I have to carry him back home. I have to pick him up and carry him. And that fool weighs like 80 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like a big baby. I had to carry him.
Yeah, he's a big-ass doggy.
So what I did was I contacted his previous owner, and I was like, hey, girl, you should probably come over and maybe bring his mom. So, like, you know, he can just know that everything's fine.
Well, here's the thing. If he was breaking out over there,
She kept him in the garage.
But again, he was breaking out before he was staying in the garage, which means that he wasn't trying to get to his mom.
Right.
He was just trying to break out.
I'm thinking now he wants to get to his mom?
No, he just wants to break.
He just has that in
him. That's his theme song. I want to break free.
Anyway, so.
What the hell was that?
It's just, we're dealing with it, but he's doing really good. Nora Jones loves him. That's her boyfriend now.
Oh, God.
They've partnered up against Beauty.
They've exchanged vows.
And Beauty's like, fuck you guys. And
against Beauty.
Yeah, they're always hanging out together. And Beauty's just like, oh, you guys get on my fucking nerves. Bark, 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 shut up. And then they're just like, hey, hey, hey. They hang out. But it's going well. Hey, hey, hey. It's going well.
Wait. You said they partnered up
against
Beauty.
Because they're like, you know, he's 5 and Nora's like 3. So they're closer in age, and Beauty's just like, grr, you guys are annoying.
I know, Beauty's older than Kendall.
Beauty is older than Kendall, mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, and she's just like, I don't have time for y'all's bullshit.
Beauty's what, 10?
Beauty's going to be 11 this year in August.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's enough about talking about my dogs. So that was my week, and I am Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleece.
And this is
Book of Lies,
the podcast.
Kiesel.
The Pulled Kiesel. If you guys haven't, visit us online at www.bookoflicepodcast.com. So you can find
www.bookoflivespodcast.com.
You're missing a W.
Whatevs. You can subscribe there. You can find us on everywhere that you can get us. Thanks for listening right now. If you're new, welcome. If you're coming back, welcome back. Brandy's calling this ear candy.
Ear candy.
Get some of this ear candy.
Yeah, man.
All right, cool. So, Brandy,
yo,
who are we covering?
Oh, all right, today we're going to hear the story of Jefferson Randolph, a.k.a. Sophie Smith. Jefferson Randolph Smith the second. I don't know why it's not Junior. It's the second, because that's fucking stupid. But apparently they expected him to name his son the third. But he went by Sophie Smith.
Sophie Smith.
Sophie Smith.
Okay. I did a little research on him, but not too much, because I felt like I had to read a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of reading. He's a historical figure.
Okay.
So, basically, there's a lot of information on him, especially, like, Alaska, where he took his last breath. They have a
museum?
No. They don't have a museum, but, I'm dying. My back hurts. They have, websites and stuff, you know, about, like, Alaska history and stuff like that, where, like, dedicated to him.
Okay.
And there's also a Sophie Smith, website. Like, apparently he has...
His family, right?
Fans.
I think he does have fans. And then when I was looking it up, they were like, you know, keep his memory alive to some effect.
This dude was a bad dude. I mean, like...
He's a bad man.
He's a... Let's keep... Well, they do. They like to keep, you know...
Well, bad. Let's... I don't... This is the first time I'm hearing about him.
Jesse
since
James
I found out
like
that...
Bonnie and Clyde and stuff, so... Yeah.
He's on that same level?
No, but that people, you know, want to keep their memory alive.
Yeah.
You know, like how in certain other countries, when people related to criminals, they would, like, try to erase them. Like,
yeah.
That person does not exist. Who? We don't speak of that person. That person doesn't exist.
Dude, like on Hitch.
Mm-hmm.
When,
mm-hmm.
like, the butcher.
The butcher Cadiz. Right. She's all, ah!
Yeah.
No, it's like
she's like, ah!
That was the weirdest shit ever. But that's funny that they like intertwined that her relative,
great grandpa,
was a murderer.
Well,
that's hey.
They came over here too, just like everybody else.
That's how they got away. They spread out, and that's maybe that. You know what? Well, I'm gonna leave that alone.
The murderers came over here just like the you know, people who wanted to get a better life. So.
Exactly.
Okay. So, Sophie Smith, he was known as the Bunco Man of the Old West. And he was also known as...
When was he born?
He was born before all of us.
That's a good answer. When was he born? Before you?
Yeah, he was also known as the Sure Thing Man. Okay, so he was born on November 2nd, 1860.
Okay.
And he died at the age of 38.
Okay.
July 8th in 1998. Maybe it was 30.
You said 1998.
1898. I graduated in 1998.
100 years after Sophie
okay.
Smith died.
Yeah, 100 years and a few months. But no, wait. Nope, it was 99 years and 11 months before he died. He died in July. I graduated in June. Or was it May? Who knows? Who cares? Okay. So he was a con artist and a gangster in the Old West.
Okay.
Right? So one of the things that he was most famous for was... called the prize package soap cell racket. And so basically what he would do, and well, I'll swing back around with this, but basically what he would do was he would just like prop up a tripod in a box, like, you know, his like show table, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bust out some soap and wrap bills around it. Dollar bills, money bills.
Around soap.
Around soap. And then he would wrap them up and he would sell them. So like, then, of course, he had a guy in the audience that was, like, his you know...
His plant.
His, yeah. And so, the guy would be like, hey, I got some money. And he would wrap up one or two, I think, $100 bills. So the guy would buy a bar of soap and say, I got, you know, $5 or $10 or however much, you know. And so people would start buying the soap. Then he would say, hey, the $100 is still here. And then he would start auctioning off more soap to people.
Okay.
But what?
I'm confused.
He would sell the soap to people.
That's right. And there's dollar bills wrapped around it.
He would basically, you know, do his little sleight of hand. So nobody was getting any money.
But why is he?
He's basically saying, I sell you. I'm going to wrap this money around here. You buy this soap for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you could get $100 for a dollar.
Oh, so it's like, but maybe he's selling the soap for more than a dollar, obviously, like $5.
Well, he was wrapping bills around it. It did, so from $1 bill all the way up. And back then, a dollar bill in the 1800s is a lot of money.
Because
okay. Everything costs like a nickel, if that.
Exactly. So I'm like, why is he giving away money?
He wasn't. Nobody was getting any money.
Okay.
But you're spoiling the plot.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Like,
I'm
why
sorry.
Was he doing that?
Sonny, shut the fuck up. You're ruining the
when
fucking
he
story.
Why is he doing that? Okay, so let's get to it. So, okay, he was born in Coweta County, Georgia, or maybe it's Coweta County. I don't know. I'm not from Georgia. And his family, the funny thing is he didn't want for shit. His family, they were educated and they had money.
So he was wealthy. And
yeah, he was wealthy. His grandfather was a plantation owner.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a senator, and he was a legislator. He had money. They had money, right? So his father was fucking an attorney, and they didn't have any issues. But the family met with financial ruin at the end of the Civil War. So basically, they lost all their money because, you know, the plantations basically were put out of business. And then in 1876, they moved to Round Rock, Texas,
mm-hmm.
and they started over. And that was where he became a con man.
Okay.
So he left his house after his mom died in 1877. And then he saw Sam Bass, who was like a famous outlaw back in Texas. He saw him get shot. He built himself a gang, pretty much, right? And it was, of course, a bunch of dudes that were like thieves and freaking like more common and, you know.
So was he just looking up to the Sam Smith guy?
No, he witnessed him get shot. Like, it was one of those things where...
Okay. And he's like, you know what works? Fucking being a fucking outlaw. let me get myself a posse together.
Well, he basically, like, built a name as a con man and a gangster.
Okay.
Like, he became, like, because he left. He left Texas and basically headed out to the frontier.
Okay.
Which is, you know, the Wild West.
Yes.
So,
Wild West.
He moved, basically, he moved from Texas and he went to Colorado. That was, like, his first stop.
Okay.
And he basically, like, what he would do would, like, be put together little gangs of con men.
All right, guys.
Yeah, he would, like, organize, like, dudes to, you know, basically.
He's the con. He's the con. You're gonna stand right here.
So it says sometimes in the, no, wait, not that one. He left his house in 1877. And then he went to Denver.
And then.
You know how you're like, I know where I want to be, but that's not where I am.
Yes.
Okay, so basically, and they would run cons like Three Card Monty, and they would do the shell game, you know,
yeah.
Like the pee under the shell,
mm-hmm.
And they would rig poker games, which they called Big Mitt for some reason. I don't know.
Big Mitt.
Yeah, but they would go from town to town doing this, so they would, you know, set up, like, you two, you're going to go over there and play a Three Card Monty game, and then you two are going to go to the shell game over here. We're going to hit this poker table over here.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, they were organized with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, around 1877, he started doing the prize soap racket. That's what it was called. So, it says he would open his, they call it a tripe and keister, which is basically a tripod and a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
And they would put a bunch of soap, like, you know, bars of soap. And wrap money around the soap.
Okay.
And so he would talk to people, you know, like, hey, blah, blah, you know, they how they do their little calling thing that basically attracts people, right?
Hey, guys, come on, come on, come check it out right here. We got soap right here. We're giving away good stuff. Come on over. Come on, come on. Win yourself $100.
Yeah.
It's only going to cost you $2. Come on up.
So he would wrap, like, literally from $1 bill all the way up to $100 bill around these soap bars. And then he would wrap them again in plain paper so that, you know, you didn't know what you were getting when you were buying them.
Got it.
So he did his little thing where it looks like, oh, okay, he's mixing all this money up in this, or all these bars of soap up. So I'm going to get something regardless of what I buy, like which one I buy, right?
Right.
So he would just sell these bars of soap. I don't think he was selling them for a whole lot of money because back then even a dollar was a lot of money.
Right.
So he was probably selling them for like 50 cents, a dollar. And it doesn't say how many bars of soap he had, but I'm sure he had a lot of bars of soap.
Soap.
A lot of bars of soap. So he would sell these bars and then he would announce like at the like halfway through his little deal after his plant had found the money, had got, hey, I got $5 or whatever.
Mm.
He'd be like, well, the $100 bill is still in my possession. I still have it.
Mm.
So he would start auctioning off. So whoever, you know, the highest bidder would get the bar of soaps, the bars of soap that he was auctioning.
Mm.
So, hey, I got a bar of soap here. Well, it might be the $100 bill, blah, 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 blah. You know, what do I bid? What do I bid? $1, $2, whatever.
Yes.
And so basically that's how he was making his money, was the auctioning off the soap, not the people actually buying the bars.
Yeah, yeah, just getting that price up.
Right. So he would do a sleight of hand where he would give you a bar of soap that had been wrapped in plain paper, but there was no money in it.
Okay.
So you're buying a fucking bar of soap. You better go home and wash your ass because you feel dirty after you just bought a bar of soap because you got tricked into thinking there was money on it.
Well, I mean, come on, man. Like, use your brain.
You're getting something that you think is there. It's like basically you're gambling. That's basically what it is. It's fucking gambling.
It's a gamble for sure. Because it's like, okay, if it's 1800 and anything, I know that I'm not going to win no $100 because then I'll be like a millionaire in the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And so you do have a gambling problem if you really thought you was going to get some soap that had a dollar in it or a comeuppance.
Right.
Just to find some fucking 25-cent soap.
So, yeah. So, basically, you know, people went home. And, you know, of course, he had more than one plant in the audience. So, people would open, because they were opening their soap right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, people would open their soap, and the people who bought the soap, the real people, would get shit. But the people, his plants would get, you know, they would find a bill or whatever in their soap.
A bug a bag.
Right. That guy. So, he ended up at one time, he got arrested for doing this, and, the cop, his name was John Holland.
Do you want some Motrin?
Oh my gosh!
So, they logged him in, right? They arrested him and he got logged in. They freaking wrote his name as Soapy in the freaking, thing because they forgot his first name. Because
he was
name.
Selling soap.
Yeah, so they wrote him as Soapy, and that's how he got the name, Soapy Smith.
That's funny.
Because the cop forgot his actual legal name.
He said, what the fuck's his name? Soapy. Mm-hmm. Soapy!
He did this for 20 freaking years. Like, 20, he was a con man for 22 years. But he did this, like, he was successful at it for 20
this
years.
This soap fucking scheme?
All of him. Like, all of his
schemes. I heard he had a couple of different cons going on.
Yeah. He did the three-card money shit. Like, his was always, like, face-to-face con. So he wasn't doing the, you know, the Prince in Nigeria con.
But, Brandy, come on.
You know what I mean, though.
They don't know what Nigeria is in the 1800s.
They might.
Africa.
They had already been there, remember? This was the end of slavery.
Africa. They don't know where they came
from. But they actually didn't call it Nigeria at that time.
Exactly.
Basically, like, he...
The Prince of Nigeria.
He would pay people to... he would pay the police, he would pay judges, he would pay politicians. And he actually became a politician.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to build 3 major criminal empires. And the first one was in Denver, where he moved to after Texas. And then he moved to Creed, Colorado. And then he moved to Alaska. He ended his life, you know, he went out in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
In Skagway. Okay. So as the criminal boss of Denver in 1979, he came to Denver And by 1882, he
Brandon,
basically...
You said 1979 to 1882.
1879. Look, just insert 18 where there's 19, okay? Seriously. I was born in the freaking 90s.
Shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Exactly. I wasn't born in the 90s. I was born in the 80s. So, whatever. I was born in the 1900s.
Again, back.
God. Anyway, so...
We need some ginkgo biloba.
Biloba. 1882, he had successfully built his first criminal empire. And it says con men normally moved around, you know, to keep out of jail. But his ass, he was growing in influence. He was basically able to influence politicians in his town. He was like fucking, what was that dude's name on, what's that show? I know my fingers bouncing down. That show. With Ian McShane and
When they're Irish, like they're over in
In the Wild West.
Ian McShane
and Timothy Oliphant. Ian McShane.
Unjustified. Justified.
Not Justified, but basically that was Timothy Oliphant's next job after the show I'm talking about.
Deadwood.
Yes, like you know how Ian McShane was like.
I didn't watch Deadwood.
Okay. Well, basically, that's what he was. Like, he had some sway with politicians mm-hmm. and police and all that stuff. He had his little empire going on, and he was going to make sure that shit didn't fucking take it down.
Okay.
So, that's how, basically, he was. Tammany Hall. Gosh darn it. See, I know history, I just can't think of it right now.
Boss Matsumoto?
Boss Matsumoto. No. Anyway, forget it. By 1887, he was reputedly involved with most of the criminal bunco activities.
Bunko.
Back then,
because okay.
You know, bunco is a game now, kind of
mm-hmm.
like fucking Yahtzee.
Mm-hmm.
But back then,
bunko queens,
was
right?
Can.
Huh? There's bunko queens.
Oh, yeah, the ladies that get together for the bunko nights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bunko back then was just basically the cons. That's what they called it. They called it the con games were bunko.
Okay, because it's bunk.
Basically, yeah. Basically. So, he was involved with most of those activities. And in Denver, the newspapers were like, he controls the city's criminals and the underworld gambling. And, you know, we know that there are politicians and police chiefs.
Damn.
That are basically getting paid by this dude.
Damn.
He opened up a club called the Tivoli Club in 1888. And I said 1888 this time.
Good job.
Which was, I don't know, who cares? We live in Colorado. On the southeast corner of Market and 17th Street.
We don't care.
Does this place still exist? Who knows? If you're in Colorado and you're listening, let us know. Does 17th Street and Market still exists?
Holler.
It was called the Tivoli Club. Maybe it's still called that. Who knows? So it was a saloon and a gambling house. And it says, legend has it that above the entrance of the stairway leading upstairs to the gambling games was a sign that read, caveat emptor, which is Latin for let the buyer beware. So, you know, come in and, you know, don't get mad if we take all your money.
Guess what? You are not leaving with your money.
Yeah, your money is ours now.
This is mine, bitch.
His brother, whose name was Bascom, became a member of his gang, and he ran a cigar store that was in front of, front for his poker games and, you know, other fucking cons.
So he's just doing, like, a lot of gambling, and then the conning is, like the shell game and the three-card Monty, and it's like
that's
you're not
the stuff
win.
He takes outside of his club.
Okay.
So you come to my club to gamble,
mm-hmm.
but my dudes are out there fucking swindling your wife of her, you know, her shopping money on a bar soap. Get it?
Got it.
Good.
So yeah, and his brother's cigar store was a front for his games, his poker games, and other shit that he was doing back there, underhanded stuff. And then he had fake lottery shops, or fraudulent lottery shops, so basically, like, you know, you put numbers down and don't want shit. a Sure Thing stock exchange, and a fake watch and bogus diamond auctions. So you could like buy fake watches and fake diamonds. You didn't know they were fake, but yeah.
What a dick.
And and he also sold stock for businesses that didn't exist.
Well, I found about some other bullshit that he was doing. Do you have that wire fraud thing in there? The telegraph thing?
Let's see. Let me see.
I'm going to tell you something you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know, do you?
Do you?
What's happening?
No.
Do you know? Do you?
Oh, look. Old Man Taylor. Okay.
Just say no and I'll tell you.
You're so weird. This is a fucking 40s, 20s movie. What's happening?
So, I watched something on YouTube, and it was, like, from, like, the American History Channel or something like that.
Of course.
Of course. And it was about Soapy Smith and whoever the guy was that I think took him down in Alaska. But one of his cons was selling fake telegraphs.
We haven't got to Alaska. We still have to cover Creed. And then he comes back to fucking Denver again.
Okay,
but
so we can talk about it later. So one of his cons over there was he was selling fake telegraphs. So, like, he would charge people $5.
Telegrams or graphs?
Sending like, oh, I want to send my girl a letter. Tell her I'm thinking about
telegrams.
Her.
Okay.
Telegram. Tell her I'm thinking about her. And then he would sell those to people for like $5. And the shit, he had no wiring, but they were like, okay, what do you want to say? Tap, 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 tappity, tap, 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 tap,
right.
Tap. And was doing nothing at all and just getting people's money that way. What a fucking asshole. And so then the dude comes home. I don't know. This is me just ad-libbing, of course.
Happened.
But he's like, hey, girl, I struck it rich. I've got all this money. I told you I'd be here. And she's like, I haven't heard from your ass in fucking years. I married Ted over here, got his fucking kids. You've been sending me telegraphs?
Grams
had no fucking idea because Soapy Smith is a fucking asshole.
Because Soapy Smith.
I'm saying, like, how, but, like, they're trying to, like, get word
people,
home.
People didn't know if their family members and loved ones were alive or dead because of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dick.
Okay. He's a fucking dick.
He's a fucking dick.
All right. Ah, goodness gracious. All right. Well, he fucking did his shit in Colorado, and nobody said fucking boo to him about it.
Right.
So he goes to Creed, Colorado in 1892. They start doing, basically, like, raiding gambling places in,
The Policia?
Yeah, the late 80s. I mean, the early 90s, late 80s, in,
Creed, Colorado?
In Denver. So he's like, okay, well, I'm going to move this fucking club.
So is Creed close to Denver then, obviously?
I don't know where it's located.
I could Google it.
Look, ask because I live there. So he moved his club.
Okay.
From Creed.
It's
from Denver to Creed.
Do you know where Creed, Colorado is?
And it was because they were mining there. They, you know, people were moving there to mine for gold and shit. So he was like, okay, well, or silver, I'm sorry, for silver. And so they were like, he was like, oh, well, let's go over here.
Mm-hmm.
So he moved his shit over there.
There's some money over here to be had. And,
right.
And he was, that's who he was preying on, the miners, right?
He was preying on everybody. But the miners, since they were moving over there, people were just, you know, coming in droves like they did to California. There was gold here, there was silver over there.
Okay.
So he basically used prostitutes over in Denver to cozy up to property owners and convince them to sign over their leases. And he basically got a whole bunch of fucking lots on Main Street. In
From
Greece.
Pillow Talk? Are you kidding me?
You know, baby, I love you. I love you. If you just give your deed over to him and, you know, I'll be with you forever.
Lying bitch.
Whatever, I don't know. They managed to do it, though, because he fucking basically bought up Main Street. Or he didn't buy shit. They signed the shit over.
Or maybe they were like, hey, just give him an opportunity to hear him out. Just sit down and talk with him. And then he'd probably, like, strong-arm him. Like, if you don't freaking pay me or if you don't sell this property to me, I'm going to...
Can I go to the neighbor's house with Daddy, please?
I don't understand what you're
Is Daddy
saying.
Outside?
No.
Where's Daddy?
If you want to go with your dad, you can go with your dad. I don't really...
And she doesn't close the door.
Okay.
Hey, so please visit us on Patreon. little sidebar, www.patreon.com/...
You hate that last W, don't you?
You're right. www.patreon.com/bookoflife. Guess what, guys? We're putting together some fabulous content for you that you can only listen to on Patreon. So, what Patreon is you'd be supporting us so we can buy a lock and, you know, keep these kids away so we can make fabulous podcasts for you. Mm-hmm. But what we're going to do for you is put together another podcast that you can only listen to on Patreon. So please subscribe and support a sister. The lowest tier we have is $2. We will send you thank you letters and you will have access to this fabulous content. Of course, there's other tiers. If you have it to give, please do. And we are making some magic for you. Back to Brandy.
Great commercial there. Anyway, so he bought up fucking Main Street.
Okay.
And he fucking rented that shit out to people. Right? He rented them out to his associates, basically. So he got enough allies in Creed where he was like, guess what, motherfuckers? I'm the boss of this bitch.
I'm the boss of this bitch!
Yeah. So his brother-in-law, William Sidney, who went by Cap, his last name was Light, he was a deputy fucking sheriff.
Cap
and he was
Light.
Also gay. His nickname was Cap.
Like the Cap.
His last name was Light. L-I-G-H-T, like a light bulb. So William Sidney Light, a.k.a. Cap, was the fucking deputy sheriff, and he was also a member of his fucking gang. So he's got him in his pocket, because he's fucking, you know.
Hey, Cap.
We're family, you're in my gang, and you're the deputy sheriff. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Ooh, running this shit.
Right. So that's where he started his second fucking empire. He opened another fucking gambling hall and a saloon. He called that one the Orleans Club. He basically, and I think they talked about this, or maybe not, I don't know, but he managed to buy a petrified man.
What?
Yes. They called him McGinty.
Did they get him from fucking Hogwarts? Fucking petrified?
Petrified man. A mummy.
Stupefy!
Yeah, so, like, people could come and see him for 10 cents.
They were, you know what? I listened to some podcasts where people were actually, like, putting, like, real dead bodies on display.
Yeah, they did that.
That's gross.
Uh-huh.
That's super gross.
Yeah, but back then it wasn't like, oh, this is unsanitary. People just did shit.
Exactly, just traipsing around
hey,
bodies.
Hey, guess what? That's a dead body. It's rotting. It's a rotting corpse. It stinks. It smells. It's disgusting.
Shut up! I'm getting 10 cents!
Okay, so.
Brandy?
It's fucking curtains over here. So anyway, back to what I was saying.
A petrified man.
They had a petrified fucking man, and people would pay a dime.
What exactly does petrified mean in, like, real life?
Mummified. That's, like, okay. Basically, like, if... He was, like, basically mummified, except for he wasn't wrapped up in fucking, you know, bandages.
So he's just like this.
It's like a freeze-dried dude. Like, yeah, like, they are...
Like, rigor mortis has set in.
They've been drained of all their blood, and they're, like, basically beef jerky.
That's so gross.
That's what it is.
That's disgusting.
It's the beef jerky man.
It's the beef jerky man.
And they're, yeah, they're basically beef jerky.
Okay.
So, but, they weren't going to get off with just paying a dime. So while they were in line waiting to get in, his goons were out there running the fucking three-card Monty game and the shell game, you know, in front of the fucking line. So
that's why people don't trust anybody nowadays. I'm thinking about it. Like, you know how old people are super suspect of everybody? Like,
yeah.
Grandma don't trust fucking nobody. It's because of these guys. They was running game on everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, like, you're on Hollywood Boulevard trying to get into Madame Tussauds or something.
Right? Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Madame Tussauds or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some asshole out there.
Basically. Trying to sell you some fucking CDs. They're always out there trying to sell you some CDs.
Yeah, but you have a choice whether or not to buy the CDs. Well, you have a choice whether or not to play through.
Brandy, they're like, hi, new music for you, here you go. And then, like, you're not supposed to take the CD. People are like, oh, okay, thanks.
They look at it.
They take it from their hand. They're like, okay, well, let me sign it for you. Okay, all right, well, you know, I'm an artist. I do this. You know, can you support me?
No.
$20.
For a CD?
$10.
I'll give you.
What do you got? And then they won't let them go. And they, like, there's, like, super aggressive.
Here, take your shit back.
Like, take your shit back. Oh, it's like that? It's like that?
Yeah,
it is like that. Get the fuck out of here.
Get upset.
Or, like, the cartoon characters, take picture! And they hop in on your pictures, and they, like, felt, like, just photobomb. And if you take a picture with them, they're like, okay, you need to pay me. Give me money.
No.
That's all. Like, that's what Hollywood Boulevard is. Mm-hmm. It's a fucking shit show.
No.
It's a Wild West.
Some people have to hustle, I guess.
They
gotta make money somehow.
I've seen the same dude out there running the same racket for the past 9 years. He must be getting paid. He must be.
Look, he probably fucking lives in like a freaking mansion in the...
He's always selling CDs, and he's been selling CDs since I've been working there. And that's all he does is sell CDs. Like, he takes like a stack of CDs, and I guess it's like, maybe he has all these CDs, and he's like, if I make $100 a day, I'm good. You know, like that, maybe that's the goal, to like push off these CDs.
Possibly, yeah.
It's insane.
Well... Everybody has to have a hustle. That's fucked up. But anyway.
Sorry.
So they were, yeah, they were, you know, people were paying. I mean, they were playing these fucking games, losing their fucking money to see the petrified man.
Gross.
So, he, like, kept his shit in order. Like, you know, there wasn't, like, any, like...
He seems very organized.
Outlawness going on. So, yeah, he protected his friends and his family, or his associates from, you know, like, fucking trouble and shit. Like, people
danger.
Who came up in there trying to start shit and make trouble, he was like, okay, your ass is done.
You
like,
get bounced out.
Yeah. He, the town council also, he was like, hey, you know, basically greasing their palms. So, he kept everybody, nobody had anything to fucking worry about if he was, while he was in charge.
Okay.
People who... were coming into town, new people that had money or that were, like, influential, they would be, like, people in town would be, like, why don't you go over and see him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, go see him. He's a dude to know.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. They went to see him. And, of course, he got his palms greased, and he greased palms. That's how it worked.
Greasing these palms.
Yeah. But he was known to give away money, like, you know, and he helped build churches. He helped fucking poor people. He, prostitutes who got, like, killed doing what they do, you know, he paid for their fucking funerals and buried them and shit like that.
That's
so
sad.
He wasn't a complete dick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would steal your life savings, but, you know, then if you needed something, he would, like, help you out.
Okay. Oh, you're broke now? Okay, let me help you. Let me help you,
yeah.
Stupid son of a bitch.
So, after all the silver was fucking gone, after they mined all the fucking silver up, the people, the officials over in Denver basically were like, okay, well, we're about to start cracking down on this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so he took his fucking McGinty, back over to Denver.
Is a McGinty his shit show? Because I was like, what's a McGinty? What is
this? This petrified man.
A McGinty?
That's what they call them. They call him McGinty. That's what... they call the petrified man McGinty.
McGinty, let's go!
Yeah.
He gets up and walks away. Mummy?
Yeah. They went back over to Denver. And And it says he left at the right time because Creed soon lost most of his business district in a huge fire on June 5th in 1892.
Damn.
So his club, the Orleans Club, went up in that fire.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes back to Denver and he opens a new fucking business, and it was another front for a fucking con, for a bunch of his cons. And he sold fucking discount railroad tickets to people, you know, headed to wherever he wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people bought the fucking tickets. And, of course, the fucking ticket agent wasn't there. Because he was actually doing, like, I'm going to go stand in front of this fucking train station.
Right.
And I'm going to sell you tickets while this motherfucker's on lunch.
Oh,
yeah.
So the original guy would, like, dip out for some reason. And
yeah.
Then his goon would come in and just get this money.
And sell them tickets. Fake fucking tickets.
Wolf tickets. You sell them wolf tickets.
So, okay, so the ticket purchasers were told that the ticket agent was out of the office but would soon return, and then offered an even bigger discount by playing any of several rigged games. So, oh, okay, well, he's not here right now, so if you want to play some three-card Monty or some fucking...
We've got games. Who wants games?
And you'll get a bigger discount on your ticket.
If you play and lose your money.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can't even go anywhere because they got jacked.
Yeah, so he told the press, and like, you know, because people knew who he was. He told the press that he was a con man. So, yeah, he admitted to the fucking the news, the fucking newspapers.
Yeah, I'm a con man.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Trying to make an honest buck.
Yeah. And
maybe if you weren't so greedy, you wouldn't get your money stolen.
He said, I consider bunco steering more honorable than a life led by the average politician, which basically is possibly true, you know, because a lot of the politicians were fucking dirty as fucking shit anyway. So, there was a new governor, Davis Hanson Waite, in Colorado, right? And he got elected to what was called the Populist Party at the time. And they were a reform party, apparently. Anyway, so he fired three of the Denver officials that he felt weren't abiding by his new mandates. They refused to leave their positions, and they were quickly joined by others who felt their jobs were threatened.
Mm-hmm.
The governor called out the state militia to assist removing these assholes from fucking City Hall. And the military brought with them two cannons and two Gatling guns. Smith basically sided with the guys that were in office, and he was like, yeah, let's fucking do this shit, right? So,
giddy up.
Yeah.
Giddy
joined
up.
The corrupt officers and the police at the hall and found himself commissioned as a deputy fucking sheriff. They're like, we're
Soapy?
Deputizing you. Yeah, Soapy.
Okay.
So him and a bunch of his dudes climbed to the top of City Hall, the top of City Hall's central tower with rifles and dynamite.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Look at Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, basically, what happened was they ended up just, like, not... They didn't have to do a firefight. You know, it was like, okay, let's just talk this shit out.
I'm gonna blow your asses up. We got some dynamite up here. Get some.
Yeah, but the, they, you know, they went to court over it.
Instead.
Yeah. And so, he was actually used as a witness in court. So the governor, basically, he withdrew the militia, and the Colorado Supreme Court decided the case. And the court ruled that the governor had authority to replace the commissioners, but he was reprimanded for bringing the militia in.
How dare you bring a militia in here?
And they called it the City Hall. The City Hall War. So the governor basically was like, all right, all this gambling bullshit, these fucking whorehouses, and these fucking bars... are out of here. So he basically was like, we're closing all this shit.
They're probably having such a good time, though. Like, who doesn't have fun gambling?
He has no tolerance for that. He's like, he's a member of the Reform Party.
Oh, okay.
They're like, we only want churches.
Why? I mean, like...
churches and schools. That's it.
That's it?
That's it.
Okay.
Get your fucking shit out of here.
Get your shit together, Carol!
Get your fucking shit out of here. So... even like, it's like, even the most corrupt city officials could no longer protect them. So Soapy and his brother, you know, they had to get out of there because they already knew who they were. Their influence in Denver basically crumbled, and they were like, okay, well, we gotta go. So they were charged with attempted murder for beating a saloon manager. His brother was jailed, Bascom. He went to jail, and Soapy got out, and he became a wanted man in Colorado.
So they're like, gotta go.
Yeah. So any criminals that remained in the town basically joined up with Lou Blonger and his brother Sam, whomever they are. They're another criminal element over back in the fucking Wild West of Colorado back then. And so Soapy, before he left, he tried to do another fucking con.
Of course he did.
And he tried to convince the president, he started it in Mexico, apparently. He tried to convince the president of Mexico, Porfirio Diaz.
Porfirio Diaz!
Porfirio Diaz.
That's my dude! Oh my God, I love Porfirio Diaz.
Yeah, he tried to convince Porfirio Diaz.
Porfirio Diaz.
Oh my God, why do you keep saying that? It's Porfirio.
Porfirio.
Por.
Porfirio. Diaz.
He told him that your country needs the services of a foreign legion that's made of Americans. American roughnecks. American toughs. So, he became known as Colonel Smith and managed to organize a fucking recruiting office before the deal went through.
Dude.
So, he basically... It fell through, I mean, not went through. So, yeah. He tried to hook up with Porfirio Diaz and, like...
Porfirio.
Fucking make a militia in Mexico. Like, a foreign legion.
I had to do a report on him, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Jose, that's
yeah.
our thing.
Mm-hmm. I remember because all you guys do kept saying was stupid shit.
Anyways.
So he goes to Alaska. Why not, right?
Makes the most sense to me, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Just go from Colorado to Alaska.
But
so
that's not a hop, skip, and a jump, though, obviously.
No, but there was a fucking gold rush up there.
Okay.
So why not go where the gold rush is,
okay.
right?
Yep, yep, yep.
So it was called the Klondike Gold Rush in 1897, and so he... We're gonna fucking go to Alaska. So he moved his operation to Dyea and Skagway. His first attempt at occupying Skagway ended in failure when miners' committees encouraged him to leave the area after operating his fucking three-card money in a pee-in-a-shell fucking games. And they were like, get the fuck out of here.
The fuck out of here
yeah.
with that bullshit. I saw that freaking peanut,
yeah.
and I should have had some money.
Yeah, so they were like, no, you can't stay here.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
You can't sit with us.
They didn't even get to do it for like a month. They
you
were
can't
like,
sit with us.
Get the fuck out. So he went to St. Louis in Washington, D.C., and didn't come back to Skagway until 1898 in January. So he stayed away for a good few months. So he set up his third empire. Again, the same way he fucking did it in Denver and Creed. He put the town's deputy U.S. Marshal on his fucking payroll, greasing palms, and he started getting allies to basically take over the fucking town.
Who does he think he is, though? Like, he's like, I've done it before, I'm gonna do it again.
Yeah, like, you know, that's the thing. Once you've had it, even if you've lost it, you can get it again.
Just like his family, right? They had their plantations in Georgia, and then shit went sour. They moved to Tejas, and then they were like, we're going to do it again. So that's his mentality.
Right. So he opened a fake telegraph office, and that's when he was fucking sending those fake-ass, or not sending those fake-ass wires.
Dick!
Yeah.
Sorry, guys, I ruined it for you.
Yeah, because, you know, the fucking wires didn't even go... They went as far as the wall, like, oh, I see some wires, but those wires don't transmit shit. So the telegraph office got fees for sending the messages, and it also had fucking poker games and shit going on in the back.
This guy.
Yeah.
This fucking guy. He's just, like, wants all of your money. What a dick.
And look, check it out. So... Skagway didn't even get a fucking telegraph until 1901.
Ugh.
So he was 2 years ahead of the game.
So he's a fucking asshole. He rolls in there and he's like, oh, let's... Hey, you know what we should do, guys? We should open up a telegraph office.
Yeah.
And then we should sell these fucking hillbillies some telegraphs.
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea. We don't need no wires.
Yeah.
We'll just tell them how it works.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about telegrams, but no, they're talking about the actual telegraph.
Tap-tap-tap-tap-tap-tap-tap-tap-tap-tap-tap.
Okay.
That.
So, okay, so again, he opened another fucking saloon, and he named it Jeff Smith's Parlor, because that's his name.
Because I was going to say, who is Jeff Smith?
His name is Jefferson Randolph Smith. His name is fucking Jeff Smith.
That's hilarious. Everybody's like, who is Jeff Smith? And he's like, I'm Jeff Smith.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you're not. You're soapy, bro.
So, yeah.
That's funny.
He's Jeff Smith. He opens up Jeff Smith's Parlor in March 1898. And he opens it as an office from which to run his operations. And Skagway had a municipal building, and his saloon became known as the real city hall. Like, what? We have a city hall, but now his is the real city hall?
This is the real city hall. This is where fucking things are getting done.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And Skagway, the town of Skagway, was basically becoming known as hell on earth.
Aww. Why?
Because with many perils for the unwary.
So quote, unquote.
Yeah, you came up in our town, you were going to lose all your money, because we're going to take it, and who knows what else is going to happen to you.
Dude, like, he just comes up, set up shop, and just starts raping people, pretty much.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Without the actual violent sex involved, you know?
Yeah. Financial rape. It's different.
So his gang members, his crew, his men, they played a variety of roles. They were, playing either newspaper reporters or clergymen, and they would basically befriend new people who came into town.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, like, figure out, okay, what's the best way to get this guy to give us his money? Right.
How are we going to get this guy's money?
Mm-hmm. So the guy, the new person in town would be like, okay, I'm going to meet this is Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave will become friends with this guy. And then Pastor Dave would be like, okay, why don't you go over here and meet these people over here and do this, do that, do this, right?
Thanks, Pastor Dave.
Uh-huh. So he would basically send them over to, like, dishonest shipping companies, is what it says. So fake fucking shipping companies, hotels, gambling dens, and then basically get his money any way they could.
Well, then people know that Skagway is a shit show, right? They're just like, oh, God.
They don't know that. Okay. They come into town, but it's basically, and yeah, of course, word started to spread after people started losing their money.
Right.
After enough people lost their money.
Okay.
And if the man was likely to make trouble or couldn't be recruited into the gang, Smith would then appear in person and offer to pay his way back to civilization. So he would be like, okay, well, you can get the fuck out of my town. I'll pay your way out of here. You want to leave?
Get out.
Or join my fucking gang? Or let me take all your money? Which one is it?
Ooh.
Those are your choices.
I'll join the gang. I'm in the gang! All right, guys, what's the con?
Yeah.
Let's go. They're like, you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
You shut up.
So when a vigilance committee, and they called it the Committee of 101, they threatened to kick fucking Soapy out of his fucking the town and with his fucking gang, he formed his own law and order society, which claimed he had 317 fucking people, like, behind him.
He's a very good leader, apparently.
Uh-huh. And they basically were like, well, fuck you, Vigilance Committee. You guys are going to do what we fucking say. And so that's what happened. They were like...
That sounds like
they cowered.
It sounds like a coup to me.
Stuck their tails under their asses and fucking ran. So most of the petty gamblers and con men did indeed leave Skagway at this time. And Smith resorted to other means to appear respectable in the community. Right? So, during the Spanish-American War in 1898, Smith formed his own volunteer army with the approval of the fucking United States Department of War.
You know, it's really easy to get in contact with them back then.
You go right on ahead and fucking form an army. Please. Please do that.
He's like, this makes us look really good, guys.
They were known as the Skagway Military Company. And, of course, he was the captain.
Fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's how people are, like, writing stories about him. They're just like, I still love this guy. Like, without him, this...
He was a bad guy, but he did good stuff for our country.
I mean, yeah.
Even though he raped his townsman.
You know, whatever.
Oh, my God.
A con's a con.
Yeah. President William McKinley,
mm-hmm.
basically, got him recognition, like, for his fucking troops, his company.
He probably strong-armed him, too.
Smith, yeah, he wrote to the president and got fucking recognition, and he used this recognition to strengthen his control over the town. So basically, like, President McKinley is formally acknowledging me and my army.
So, obviously,
we do some fucking good, and
yep.
You guys need to shut the fuck up about us being here.
Shut the fuck up or fall in line.
Yeah. So,
shut the fuck up!
On July 4th, the 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
1898, Smith rode as the Marshal of the 4th Division of the parade leading his army on his gray horse. On the grandstand, he sat beside the territorial governor and other officials.
This guy is so full of himself right now. Like, he's just like, I'm a big deal. Whatever.
Yeah, like, he's... Dude, he became fucking famous, like... Okay. So... In 1889, in Denver, he had assaulted an editor, John Arkins, of the Denver Rocky Mountain News. And they declared war on him and his gang. And so that's when they started talking about him and, like, you know, his fucking con man and his fucking bunko games and
mm-hmm.
all that shit, right, and his gang. So they were, like, writing shit, just, like, that's how they made it. They made him famous by writing about him.
So people were just writing... I mean, obviously...
Not people. The Rocky Mountain News. They were writing about him because he fucking assaulted their editor.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. That's how he became famous because they were basically like, okay, well, this is war. But that's not how it works. Especially back then, that's not how it works. So, yeah. That's how he fucking became famous, right? And then... the story, according to the Skagway News, of how he died, is on July 9th, 1898.
is it funny?
Newspapers throughout the country wrote stories that one brave man had sacrificed himself to slay a vicious con man. The con king of Skagway. So Skagway could be freed of all crime. This was him. He got shot. He was killed. Okay, so on July 7th, 1898, John Douglas Stewart, a returning Klondike miner, came to Skagway with a sack of gold.
Mm-hmm.
Valued at $2,700.
Damn, that's hella money over there. He's a baller.
Back then, I mean, now it would be worth...
millions?
Well, I'm sorry. In 2017, it was worth $82,260.
In 2017?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd fuck somebody up over that.
So three gang members convinced the miner to participate in a fucking three-card Monty game. Stewart, the man who had the money, the gold, balked at having to pay his losses, and the three men grabbed his sack and ran.
So the three-card Monty, is that when the three cards are you're just moving?
They're folded over, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to find the queen.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Committee of 101, the people that were against him,
mm-hmm.
They demanded that he return that man's gold, and he refused, and he was like, he lost it fairly, right? So on the evening of July 8th, the Vigilance Committee organized a meeting on the Juno Wharf. And with a Winchester rifle draped over his shoulder, Smith began arguing with Frank H. Reed, one of four guards blocking his way to the wharf. A gunfight known as the shootout on Juno Wharf began unexpectedly, and both men were fatal. They fucking shot each other.
So they both died?
They both died.
Well, I gotta take them out.
Smith's last words were, "My God, don't shoot," apparently.
Yeah, I read that.
A letter from Sam Steele, whomever that is, the legendary head of the Canadian Mounties, at the time, what did they call them? The Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Indicates that another guard, Jesse Murphy, may have fired the fatal shot. Smith died on the spot with a bullet to the heart. He also received a bullet in his left leg and a severe wound on the left arm by the elbow. Reed died 12 days later with a bullet in his leg and groin area. So basically he died of probably fucking sepsis.
Infection or something,
yeah. Some sepsis. Three gang members who robbed Stewart received jail sentences. So the guys that took his money, they got
jail time.
Sobey Smith was buried several yards outside of the city cemetery. He didn't even get a burial in the cemetery.
They're like, fuck you, get out.
Yeah.
At least he got a burial though.
Yeah. Well, do you know what his grave looks? Oh, hold on.
No, I don't know.
His grave looks like it's. Oh my God. Okay.
Okay.
So it's just like. That's fucking weird, because it's by itself, like, by some fucking trees. Like, it looks like it's on a path. Like, some path that somebody was just like, let's bury him right here.
To Soapy.
That's
probably what it was. They're like, man, we're fucking tired. Let's
just
bury him.
Due to the way Smith's legend has grown, every year on July 8th, people hold wakes around the fucking country to honor this man, right?
July 8th.
July 8th.
Who's doing it, guys? Who's holding the wake for Soapy Smith?
His grave and saloon are on most tour itineraries of Skagway. So if you go to Skagway, they'll be like, Cozy, Smokey, Soaky, Soaky. Soapy's grave, go see his saloon.
Cozy Soapy Saloon?
Mm-hmm. So in fucking Alaska, they have a Skagway. It's called the Skagway Festival in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And it's every year since 1974. And they have his wake. It's on July 8th. They have his fucking wake there. It's held at Eagles Hall. And this event used to take place at the gravesite. But now it's held in a downtown area. In fucking Hollywood, they have a fucking memorial to him, too. In Hollywood.
What?
Hollywood. Magic Castle, Hollywood.
The Magic Castle?
Magic Castle, Hollywood. That's what it says. July 8th is the annual Soapy Smith party, complete with costume contests, charity gambling, and magic shows.
I believe that at the Magic Castle, because it's on Franklin.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's, like, right across.
Okay. Well, he most recently, in pop culture, he's a character in the show Klondike. Played by Ian Hart. He's in all six episodes. And in the show, he was working on his skills in Dawson during the winter of 1897 and 98 instead of Skagway. He's featured in most of the episodes in the Canadian-Irish TV show Dominion Creek, 2016 television show. In Deadwood, the show Deadwood, he actually fucking...
That's what we were talking about, right?
They have a a character based on him. It's not his name, but his name is, he's called The Huckster.
The con man.
And then from 2004 to 2006, he's played by Gil Gale. And he fucking has fucking soap, a prized soap package salesman based on Soapy in all three seasons of Deadwood.
Remember me.
And then, of course, there's some older, like, movies and shows and shit from 1919 all the way down to,
Though I have to say goodbye, remember me.
Remember me.
That's what this guy reminds me of. He reminds me of Ernesto de la Cruz.
And this is his fucking grave.
Let me take a look. Oh, really?
Yes. This fucking grave is, like, four posts with some fucking rope and a freaking headstone. And
there's not even a rope. It's, like,
is that just
like metal bars and, like, four, like, wood posts.
Yeah, four posts.
Jefferson R. Smith died July 8th, 1988, age
38. It's handwritten. Like, it's not...
I don't even think this is really that what's on there. I think someone, like,
superimposed that on there.
Exactly right.
It might be a blank grave. You never know.
Like, there's a tree right here. Like, did they put the tree on top
of it? That's what I'm saying. There's a tree. It looks like, and, like, right next to it, it looks like there's a path. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
People have been traipsing, back and forth around it. But it looks like, and of course, he's buried outside of the cemetery. So, but, yeah, it was just like, okay, this is a good spot. Let's just bury him here.
Let's save this photo. There you go. Good. I'll put it on the Instagram.
Insta-tinsta.
I'll put it on the Instagram. Follow us at Book of Lies Podcast on Instagram.
I think it's handwritten.
Brady, look at that. That's not real.
I think it is.
Someone pasted that shit on there. I know that font. That looks like Bookman Antiqua.
Okay, which one?
Both of them.
So, that is the story of Jefferson Randolph Smith II, a.k.a. Soapy Smith, a.k.a. the Sure Thing Man.
The Sure Thing Man.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's very interesting. I had the other day...
He actually, he preferred to be called Jeff. Like, just call me Jeff.
Who's Jeff Smith?
Yes.
I know, that's funny. The funny thing is, the other day, I kid you not, I was like, I had a question, and I just, recorded it. But the question was, so Soapy Smith, right? Let's say his real name is Soapy Smith, or Jeff Smith. And Jeff Smith names his child Jeff Smith. Now, would this other child's birth certificate have to say Jeff Smith II? Or does it have to be, Jeff, same name Smith, or could it be Jeff, different name Smith, but it's still known that he's the second? Does it have to be on the birth certificate, or is it just, known that you're the second, third, fourth, or fifth?
In other words, if my dad's name was John Daniel Jacobs,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted my son to be John Daniel Jacobs...
Let's say you're a dude, and your name is John Daniel Jacobs.
Right.
You would be John Daniel Jacobs the second.
Or Junior.
Or Junior. But is that on your birth certificate?
Yes.
The second?
Mm-hmm.
But what if it's not on there?
If it's not on there, then it's not your legal name. Your legal name is still John Daniel Jacobs.
Right.
But it's not the second.
Mm-hmm.
That's your, they call it your suffix. Your
yes.
Mm-hmm. So, all your kids can be like George fucking Foreman's, all his Georges.
Yeah.
They're Georges. And they're, third, fourth, fifth, whatever the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to be on the birth certificate.
So on the birth certificate, it has to either say the fifth, the V, or the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, so that has to be on there, or you're just an asshole.
Or you're just the same name as your dad. And so there's really no different, no differentiation.
Junior! Okay, got it.
Because, there's people that name their kid John Jacob Smith, or John Jacob Daniels, or John Jacob Jacobs.
Different middle name.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not juniors.
Because it's not the same exact name.
Right.
Thank you.
So then they go by Johnny or Jack.
Or
of their actual
Sasha Fierce.
Okay.
If one's gay, he wants to...
If one's gay.
I'm just saying, if he wants to be, a drag queen and, become Sasha.
I mean, or he could be something else. Why
or he could...
Why does he have to be just Sasha? Sasha.
I like that name, Sasha.
Sasha is a Russian name.
What's the problem? I like the name Sasha.
Okay. That's fine.
What about Sasha Baron Cohen?
Sasha Baron Cohen is Jewish.
So I don't think that's a Russian name.
The name Sasha for a man is a Russian name.
But if it was a woman,
or
it would be a Russian name?
Or Ukrainian. It's... That's they're is the that ones
Eastern,
named their boy Sasha.
Is that Eastern European?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. Good story. I think it's funny that he has fans and they have a freaking wake every year.
This motherfucker has a fucking following. It's weird.
It's very weird.
But so does Jesse James.
And he was an outlaw too.
Yes.
Okay.
And so do fucking Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, true.
Because there's always those people who admire that they call him underdog. This motherfucker was not an underdog.
He was top dog. He was fucking top dog.
Yes.
Fuck underdog.
Boss. What the fuck was his name? Boss.
Masumoto.
Matsumoto. No.
Tanaka.
Are we on Kill Bill today or what? No. His name was fucking Boss. What the fuck was his name? From Tammany Hall. Back in during Gangs of New York. The fuck was his name?
The Butcher?
The Baker, the Candlestick Maker? No. Boss Tweed. That was his fucking name.
Boss Tweed.
Yeah.
I knew that's what you meant.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I did not.
He was a fucking, he was a boss in fucking New York.
He was a boss.
Yeah. Back, they called him Boss, you know, because he was a corrupt fucking politician.
Okay.
He was a corrupt fucking politician, and he did a lot of bad shit, and, yeah.
Game of Thrones comes on tonight!
It does.
Oh my gosh, y'all watched last week's episode? It was so intense.
Girl.
So intense.
I was like, yes, fucking Arya Stark! That's why I was like, Arya Stark is my spirit animal.
I knew she was fucking coming. Like, when the Red Witch was like...
What do you say to the
God of Death? No. When she was like, you told, she's like, I know you, you know, you told me I was going to close with many eyes. She's like, that's right, bitch. I said brown eyes. I said green eyes. And look at me in my eye. When I tell you this, I said blue eyes. And then
Arya was like, yeah, I got
she's
that.
She's like, oh, shit, check. And then she was like, so what do we say to the God of Death? And she was like, not today. And it was like, hit for this.
But you
let's
remember
go.
Where that came from, right? What do you say to the God of Death?
The mini face man.
The
no face man.
The first guy that trained her. That man. Remember when she was like 8 and she wanted to, she had got
Needle.
And
yeah.
She was learning how to fight.
Yeah.
He said it to her first.
But he was a mini faced or no faced.
The no faced man.
Dude. Do you know what I'm saying? But anyway, but she was like, oh.
Valar Morghulis, bitches.
But listen, she was like, oh, got it. And she trotted off and I was just waiting. I was looking for her. For the rest of the freaking show. And it was like 20 minutes later. And I was like, I know it! Like when she was like.
Because she's fucking stealth. Like when John was like, how did you sneak up on me? Because she learned how to just like.
She's a ninja.
And so they didn't even know she was coming.
Nope.
That was funny. Like the fucking wind blew past the White Walker's hair. He turns his head and he doesn't see shit.
Nope.
And then here she comes flying through the air.
Yep.
Like what?
Yep. I was so happy. I was so fucking happy. Like, when he caught her, I was like, no! She dropped that fucking knife, and she was like, ha ha, I've got another hand. Guess what? In the gut. You're dead.
And that is where the child of the fucking forest stuck the freaking dragon lance
yes.
to create that motherfucker
yes.
in the first place.
Yes. Yes. Totally right. Mm-hmm. Dude, it's so good. How many episodes left? Do we only have like,
I think
what,
there's
five
only
episodes?
Three episodes.
There's only six episodes this season or eight?
Is it six or eight? I know it's a short fucking
season. I know it's a short fucking season.
But
and if they give me 90 minute episodes, I can deal.
Thank you. That's
I can deal
like,
with that.
Maybe they're going to, you know, modify or like adjust. So longer episodes,
mm-hmm.
shorter season. Okay, that's fine.
I can deal with that.
The
sure.
same amount of content.
Right.
Just in a shorter span.
Compacted.
Right.
For sure. Yeah. But now I gotta deal with Queen Bitch Cersei. Like, this was her plan. This was her plan. She was like,
she
either the White Walkers are gonna.
Yeah,
exactly.
She didn't
either
to
they're gonna kill you, or when you come for me, you're gonna be, like, severely, like.
Gripples.
You ain't gonna have nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody's
gripples.
Gonna be. Everybody's gonna be dead except for you. One person's gonna survive. So that was her fucking plan. She's a whore. Anyway, so I was going to make a reference. I haven't listened to a lot of podcasts, but we are, Brandy. I'm going to tell the people what we're going to be doing for them for our Patreon.
Hold on. Did you know that Sophie Turner just married to Jonas Brothers?
Yeah. I was like, I tweeted something. I was like, third time's a charm. Go ahead, Sansa. Finally a good man.
Oh, she married a Jonas Brother.
Like, that's interesting. They all have, like,
exotic
women.
They're all married
women. Yeah, but they all, well, the last two have exotic women because what's his name's wife is Indian. She's like a...
Joe, okay, yeah. Nick's wife is Indian.
Yes.
But Kevin's wife...
She's just all American.
Yeah, and so who's exotic? English people are not exotic.
Oh my God, what are you talking about? They're super exotic.
No, they're not.
And I'm just saying, whatever. They're not American. That's all I meant. I'm sorry.
Foreign chicks?
Sorry.
Priyanka... Well, yeah, okay.
I'm sorry that I used exotic.
They're not exotic.
Excuse me. Scoozy. Never again. Anyway, yeah, I did tweet that. So good. Bully for you.
Bully for you.
So, Brandy and I are going to be delivering you guys some sweet-ass content on Patreon. And what we are doing, what are we going to do, Brandy? What are we going to do for these people?
Oh, we're going to be discussing one of my favorite shows.
And one of my favorite shows,
yes,
too.
Misfits. And if you don't know what Misfits is... If you are a Hulu subscriber, Google that shit.
Boom, boom, boom.
I said Google it. Google it on Hulu.
Boom, boom, boom.
Just put it in your search bar. Or actually, no. Just Google Misfits English television show. It is amazing.
You don't even have to put English. Just put Misfits Hulu.
Well, because it'll bring up the band.
I know. If you do put it in. But Misfits is a show on
Hulu.
It's a British show.
It originally aired on, I think it was called E4 in the UK.
You know what, Brandy? You are correct about that.
It started in 2010 and ended in
2000. Actually, it started in 2009.
Okay. And ended in 2014?
13.
37
episodes. So
hold on. Let me just say, UK, get with the fucking program. In the United States, a season is 22 fucking episodes, unless it's an HBO or a fucking...
Season one's super short.
Yeah. Season one is short.
Six episodes.
Usually. But, season one is short. But, like, our series, you know. But, seriously, like, 10 episodes for a season, that is just, like, that hurts my heart.
It hurts my heart. But that's the way freaking Game of Thrones is. It's only 10 episodes per season.
It's HBO. It's a cable show.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And it's different, like, different, okay. Different channels have different fucking...
We'll talk about it. Let's just put a pin in it. I understand. We're going to talk about that, so...
It's over now, so
it's totally over now, so it really does not matter. It matters not, but we are going to be covering that on Patreon. It's only for our Patreon subscribers, so if you are not subscribed and you've got $2 to support us with every month, you're going to get this extra content for you if you need a little more of this ear candy, as Brandy calls it. A little more of this ear candy. So, check us out there. So that's what I recommend. If you have not watched it, watch it.
Yeah.
On the web.
And then watch it again.
And then watch it again, because this is like the fourth time I've watched it personally.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched it with Jamal. I turned him onto it and he was into it. I can still watch it anytime.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
This is a show that I can put on and just like do stuff around
yes.
my house and watch.
It's a great show. So if you guys have Hulu, check it out. If you've watched it before, subscribe to Patreon and listen to us talk about it. If you don't have Hulu, we actually have a link on our website on our show notes page to get you 2 weeks free of Hulu. So that does help us out too if you'd like to get some free shit. And it helps us. So you get something free. It helps us. Thank you so much. There's also links on the website for Amazon, HBO. So if you are a Game of Thrones fan or you want to be a Game of Thrones fan or you just want some HBO, there's a link on the website for that. And any premium things on Amazon, like Showtime and Stars. And then there's also a 30-day free trial of Amazon Prime where you can get free shipping. And their content, they've got some great shows on there, like The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, which you can watch on Amazon anytime. What is that, Sneaky Pete? They've got some good content on there. I think that people sleep on Amazon.
I love Juwan Arabisi. I just wish he wasn't a Scientologist. But anyway.
Anyway,
I said it.
We've been doing this an hour and a half, so I think it's just a long episode.
Yeah.
So, that's us for today. I'm tired. I'm It's Cinco de Mayo today. It's Sunday. I got Patron downstairs.
Ugh.
I know, I can't drink Patron, I get so aggressive.
I can't drink tequila because it makes me want to vomit.
Okay, anyway.
Anyway, yes, let's just peace the fuck out.
Let's shut this shit down. So,
Brandy Flakes.
Ooh, deuces. I'm Sunny Hepburn.
This has been
Book of Lies, the podcast. Visit us online. Again, if you didn't hear me before, I'm saying it again.
Yeah.
Book of Lies podcast at, oh my God, www.bookoflies.com. All of our social links are on there. The Twitters, the Facebooks, the IGs, the Instagram. I love the Twitter fam. You guys are so supportive. I love this podcast family that we are in. And you guys are wonderful. So have a great week. Thank you. Ciao, ciao.
Arrivederci.
There it is right there.